Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or helpfromchristministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 754. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Just let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling. I've got a very strong message for you, a whole series of them from the Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation means this book is to be revealed, the knowledge of it and the understanding and the wisdom of it at the end of time, and therefore it's very easy to understand now, and therefore we know as another sign that this is the end of time. So we've got that, and we're in the first chapter, and I'm going to be starting out at verse 4. We have songs, but right now let's pray that you, Father God, will continue anointing me. Bring whatever it is that you're going to bring to us and the people of the world, the church, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, your bride, and the rest of the world, the knowledge and the wisdom and the spiritual understanding that you want them to have in these last days. Rebuke Satan, and also give way for us, Lord, to have every open door that it is that you want us to have. Rebuke every attempt that Satan is attempting to do. Rebuke it, Lord. Bind it. Don't let it happen in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps to sing for you Joshua Fit the Battle.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down, God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until, well, until his work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the men of Saul, but there's a man like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow the ramp, oh, Joshua cried, don't the battle am in my hand. God knows that Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, the heavy red gun, the Joshua's spear was a well not 12 long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Go broke them, ran home, Joshua threatened, cause the devil can't do you no harm. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Rope broke and ran home, Joshua cut, cause the battle can't do you no harm. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns begin to blow, the trumpets begin to sound. Then Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls came tumbling down. God knows that Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Well, Joshua beat the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Well, the walls came tumbling down. Hey, Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That really happened, folks. The walls did come tumbling down. That's history. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 4 in chapter 1 of Revelation. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now the Lord wants us to have a sense. He wants us to be able to sense that He is living in us. Because if you don't have the sense that the Lord is living in you, then you don't have the sense that you're saved, and you don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do His work in you, to check you or to rebuke you when you're going someplace that you're not supposed to go, or that you're doing something that you're not supposed to do. We have to have a sense of who we are. Now, if we know that the sense of life is within us, we need to point to that way of life. We have to point our spirit, our soul, our mind to the kind of life that the Lord is attempting in us by our sensing Him in us. We need to point to that way of life. Why do you think the Lord is living in us? It's simply because He wants to point us in the right direction. By His life, He wants us to see what He wants us to do. So we need first to cause others to know that the life of God is within us also. And lead them, the people that watch us, lead them to know that they have the sense of this kind of life in them as well. So there's no possible way that we can lead them to that kind of life unless we have that life in us, and we have to sense that it's in us. That's having good sense. Now, there's all kinds of people today that are leading people according to their opinions and their lifestyle and the way they think or their opinion of what they think that people should do. But there's no proper right way of life unless it's the Lord. There's only one way, and that's the Lord's way. Any other way is wrong. Secondly, with the help of the ministry of the Word of God, which I'm doing right now. Spiritual literature, spiritual preaching and teaching, and the testimonies of other people. We need every kind of a testimony that there is in this world to be around us. In other words, to keep us pointed in the life way. This is done also by other saints regarding the clearance of their old past. They have to clear that away. And that will cause them also to have a lot of feeling or a deeper feeling regarding what needs to be cleared up or changed or terminated in their own life, in their own past. We cannot cling to the past. We're new creatures, and we must cling to that which is new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. But when people just tell people, I found out that for years the people at the church were not quoting scriptures to people. They were just saying, you can't do this. Baby Christians would come in and they say, you can't do that. You can't do this and you can't do that. And I said, this is not the way that I was trained. God put me with a very godly woman, Susie Alamo. And she would explain the scriptures to me saying, why? You can't do this and why you can't do that. I don't need some person to tell me you can't do this, you can't do that, because I can tell that they don't know what the scriptures say in the first place. Because if they did, then they'd tell me what the scriptures would say when I was a baby Christian. This goes back 44 years ago. And Susie explained the scriptures to me. Anybody that is trying to portray that they have a sense of life in them, that they have the sense of God living in them, they don't sense that at all. If they don't sense it, it's just a matter of time before they hit the deck. They're going to go down the drain. They'll be shipwrecked. You can't do this. You can't do all you do is cause new Christians to leave the Lord, because it isn't that simple, folks, to say you can't do this and you can't do that. That isn't Christianity at all. Where in the Bible says you can't do this and you can't do that, it doesn't. The Lord tells you what you must do. And He expects us to pass that on to other people. So we have to have a sense of him living in us. And he says that he'll draw that word out of us, the word of God out of us. If you study the word of God, then you've got God in you, because the word of God is God. And it's easy to let the Holy Spirit lead you. I think it's wonderful, because that way all I got to do is to study the word and fill my spirit with it, my soul, my mind, and then let the Lord deal through me to others, or for the Lord to deal with people. The Lord is much more powerful than you or I. I don't need anybody telling me you can't do this and you can't do that. If people tell me that, I want to know why. And if you have any concern for your soul, you're going to want to know why too. You can't do that. Why can't I do that? The Lord dealt with me personally, and I really appreciated the way that he did it. One night, Susie and I were witnessing on Hollywood Boulevard, on the corner of Cahuenga and Hollywood Boulevard. And Susie wanted to go home because I didn't know it. She didn't know it at the time that she had cancer, and she felt weak. I said, Sue, let me stay out just for a few more minutes. And the Holy Spirit came down upon me and says, get her home. And I got her home, and then the Lord started pouring out rebukes upon me, and I screamed out to the Lord all night long, what's the matter, Lord? Don't you ever, when she wants to come in, you bring her in. And, of course, later I found out that she had cancer, and it didn't make any difference. I had to go on a fast, and I had to pray. But some people have no sense of God in them to the point to where they never fast. If you ask them, if the Lord puts it upon me to tell a person that the Lord is telling them to fast because they're not conscious of the Lord in them, they don't have any sense of life in them. And they start crying and weeping because they're not of the Lord. Oh, they get so many headaches and stuff. It doesn't make any difference how many headaches you have. Sometimes headaches do come when you start fasting. But if you pray to the Lord, Lord, take the headache away, it will go away. Because by his stripes you were healed. So anyway, all night long I had to pray and pray and pray to forgiveness from the Lord. Don't you ever do that again. There were many things in my life that needed to be cleared up. You know, I was into rock and roll music just before I got saved for years. But they didn't get cleared up. I got all that out of my system because I'm not the same as I was before. A big name basketball player came to me and says, can I serve the Lord by playing basketball? Or can sports figures continue playing basketball, football, baseball, all these different things? I told him, no. Did Jesus play basketball, football, baseball, ping pong, volleyball, all these different kind of balls? Well, no, but I mean, this is the new age. The age of the Lord, everything remains the same in the Bible. We are now new creatures and we're into a new realm. We're in the spiritual realm. Amen?
Amen.
The things in my life, the former things in my life, got cleared up as time went on. Nobody had to tell me, you can't do this, you can't do that. The Lord would convict me and show me not to do it. So as I grew in the power of God, he, the fullness of him, grew into me, to the fullness of the stature of the Lord. And I'm still growing, though. If you're really studying the Bible and doing everything that you're supposed to do, you're still growing. It never gets stale, the Word of God, if you're reading in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. How could anything be boring? How could God be boring? How could the life of God be boring in you when he's guiding you? If you're conscious of him guiding you, but if you're not, you just figure, well, I'll follow the leader. I'll follow Tony. Well, God has things for you to do more than what I'm telling you. Don't you think? Well, then you have to be conscious of that yourself. So it isn't really a feeling or what I believe it is. It's a sense that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. You have to know. You have to have the sense that the Holy Spirit is guiding you and directing you. that we need in order to lead other people to clear up their past according to the dealing of the Holy Spirit within them. It isn't that their flesh is going to feel anything like that, because their flesh isn't going to feel that. What in your flesh can tell you what to do spiritually? The flesh is dead to the spirit, and the spirit is not involved with flesh, with the exception of attempting to mortify your flesh, to deaden it, to put it to rest, to put it away. What I'm telling you is in accordance to the principle of the Lord's salvation, and can help others to truly grow in the power of the life of God, God's life in you. Actually, we need to turn our life over to God, and He turns His life over to us. Who gets the best of the deal? We do. Our dead life of dead works and carnality is of no value. We need the Lord in us. The degree of ending the past. A lot of people say, how far should we go so far as putting an end to the things of the past? The things of the world. How far do we have to go with that? To what degree should we proceed with that? Well, degree, I find Romans 8:6. Degree is expressed in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Here is the degree that we have to put an end to our former life. It says, Romans 8:6, as life and peace. Go ahead, read it.
For to be carnally minded is death.
Okay, so to be of the past is death. To be leaning on who you are. Well, this is just the way I am, I hear so many people say. And I can't change. You will either change or you're dead. To be carnally minded is death. Read that again.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
All right, life and peace. Well, you have eternal life to be spiritually minded, to have the sense that God, that the life of God is living in you and working in you. But to be led by your flesh, you're still dead. Well, this is just the way I am. I hear so many people saying that. Well, the way you are, my friend, you cannot get into heaven. You have to be led by God's life living in you. You have to mortify your old life. You have to put it to death. You have to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've already showed you that the ending of the past is based on the sense of the Holy Spirit within you. You have to sense that God's Spirit is in you, and listen to that spirit in you, and be careful that you don't misinterpret anything that the Lord is saying. Just know that when God is in you, that we must live godly lives. Otherwise, God will not live in you. He lives in people that want to live godly lives. We must let go of our former life and let God lead our lives. In us, you have to have a sense that He's leading you. You have to depend on Him. You have to pray to Him, say, Lord, am I going? Am I doing the right thing or what? So it is the sense of God's life within us that is showing us and leading and guiding us in His way, this way, to get into us through the inner anointing of the Holy Spirit. And because of the ending of our past or our past life, or our life is based on the sense of God's life actually living within us. Now the procedure is the same as that mentioned that I mentioned to you in Romans chapter 8 verse 6. But we're going to read now Romans chapter 8 verse 5 and 6. And these are the words of God that you must adhere to. You don't have to sense. You can read this. The Holy Spirit has already laid this down on paper for you to follow. So you don't have to seek it any longer. You know that this is it. Go ahead and read it, Sharon.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Yeah, you mind the things of the flesh. You want to know. You want to go to the ice capades. You want to go to Disney World or Disneyland? Do you want to go to Seven Flags? Do you want to watch the Miss America contest or the Miss Universe contest? Do you care about these things? Do you want to go on boat rides, to go to movies and watch them all the time? Or do you like studying the Word of God? Or do you like bringing messages? Do you like to hear messages? What? So read it again, verse 5 and then 6.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Yeah, they love the world. They love the things of this world. So you mind the things that your flesh loves. Okay, it doesn't make any difference if the Lord says, don't eat lobster, crabs, pig meat, and things like that. But I like it. I mind the things of the world. I love the taste of pork. I love the taste of shrimp and crab legs, especially Alaskan crab legs and lobster and all the other things that God has forbidden people to eat. Next thing you know, you'll be eating worms. And there's a lot of people just figure that there's no rules and regulations. And they are eating worms, and they're eating buzzard meat and rats and mice and rabbits, things that are an abomination unto the Lord. We're not to eat that stuff, so it's their way. Now, so you mind the things of the world. You see other people in the world eating that stuff and even sniffing it and enjoying this rotten, filthy smell of these things. Well, rabbit tastes just like chicken. I've heard people say that, and so does rattlesnake. Look, then why not eat chicken? Amen?
No.
If it tastes just like chicken, then eat chicken, because that's a legal thing to eat. Now what else?
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Yeah, the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God is Spirit and is life. And therefore the Lord says, follow the things that I have the prophets and the saints, the apostles, write down. If you want to be spiritual. But if you don't want to be spiritual, you just want to thumb your nose in God's face, well, you're going to pay for it. Because some of the things like that may not send your soul to hell unless you're doing it in defiance to the Lord. But you will die young. You will die young because they're not food. They're actual vacuum cleaners that vacuum the floor of the ocean. And pigs clean up the face of the earth, and buzzards, and cormorants, and bitterns, and eagles. Following the Spirit, or minding the Spirit. Now you mind me! The Lord says, that's minding the Spirit. The Spirit says, mind me! I am trying to get you a longer life and get you into heaven. Now mind the Word. Mind me! The result, therefore, will naturally be the same. Life and peace if you mind the Lord. Long life here on earth and eternal life in heaven and peace with the Lord. Now the Lord tells us to, on this earth, to be meek. Did you think that that means to be meek before man? If you do, well, you're interpreting the Word of God exactly the opposite of what it really means. It means be meek before the Lord. Okay, the Lord says for you to be bold before man. Be bold before man. Bold. Well, but we want to be meek before man. No, the Lord says be bold. Be courageous. Be very courageous. Be very bold. But some people think that if they can, you can't even hear him talking. They think that's humble. Or that's being peace-loving and so on and so forth. It isn't. It's disgusting when people don't even mutter, or they just go, when you say, well, are you going to do that? And they go, The Lord says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And be very bold and very courageous before man. You know, I'm not trying to impress human beings at all. If I was, I'd be a liar like the politicians. I'd be a politician. Therefore, I'm not looking to please homosexuals by telling them, oh, you can get married. Oh, it's all right. Or lesbians. Or those that commit adultery. Oh, God will forgive you. Tell me, in the Bible, where does it say that? It doesn't say that, folks. He doesn't forgive sin, after you've been saved, I'm telling you. Now, he'll forgive a homosexual if they repent, and an adulterer if they've never been saved before and they repent, or people that are drunkards. But he will not forgive you if you have been saved and you're still lusting after, and you're married and you're still lusting after other men or women. He's not going to forgive you. You might as well forget about it. And he says, Jesus said, if you just even look upon a woman with lust in your heart, with lust. I mean, I just want to have sex with her. I don't want to marry her. I don't want to support her. I don't care what the Lord says. It's worse than an infidel if you have children. You don't support me. You don't support your wife. You know, I love to have sex, and I'm going to just have sex with a woman. She has kids, so I'm leaving. You're worse than an infidel. And an infidel is going to hell. So if it's worse than an infidel, and there's different degrees in hell, and there is, where do you suppose you're going? You're going to the lower parts of hell, amen?
Amen.
All right, well, my time is up for reading scriptures and explaining the gospel to you. We need to pray now to get on board. Come on, good people. There's a train a-coming. It's the gospel train. And you don't need any money to get aboard. You just need faith. So jump on now by saying this prayer to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all our former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, Holy Father, Holy Spirit. Jesus, wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. Therefore, I thank and praise your holy name, Lord, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell our listening audience how they can receive a copy of this program, number 754.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078, or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo again saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord Jesus Christ, for a reading from the book of Revelation. So you'll learn what must be done in these last days.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.